All right, welcome in, folks, to the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host, Mike, along with Chuck here. What's going on, Chuck?
Shocker, brah, 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 brah. What's up? How you doing?
Man, I'm hanging in there. Tired. Been a long week already. Just got back from the Frozen Four. Missed out on some work trip, but you got lucky and won some greenbacks, putting money on Denver, and they just shell-shocked Boston College, unbelievably.
That's the second time in, like, 3 years that I won money on Denver winning the Frozen Four. It was funny, a little quick story. My cousin, who helped place the bet in New Jersey on DraftKings, he knows that I bet on the Frozen Four every year, even though I know nothing about college hockey. And so he knows that I won in Denver last time. But I told him, you know, put 20 on Michigan and 20 on Denver. And so he thought I took Michigan and he rode Michigan.
And, oh, no.
And I was like, dude, I took Denver. But I didn't specify, you know. But yeah, it was nice. Nice return on that investment.
So, yeah, that was a good one.
I got to get ballsy and put like a couple hundos on there. Whatever guys on the $20 bill.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I thought, man, if I put 200 on Denver, I'd have paid for the whole trip just doing that. Like, this kills me. Yeah. But no, it was great. It was great being back in St. Paul. I mean, the weather was gorgeous. Got to walk around town. Spent 2 days at the games. It was unbelievable. Saw some A&M fans there at the tournament wearing A&M hockey jerseys because we have it's a club team, so it's not scholarships, but yeah, it was awesome, dude. The Denver goalie was just unbelievable. Davis just laying out, making blocks.
Was unreal. Yeah,
all timer. Yeah, and then the guy for Boston College, Fowler, I think just got called up to Montreal and got like standing ovation last night from the Canadians. So good for him, even though he lost the Frozen Four. So it was an unbelievable game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Like, Mike, my cousin said, did you watch it? I'm like, no, I just followed along on the score. I said, but yeah. Mike was there. So
yeah, we had club level seats. It was nice. I mean, the view was unbelievable. It was good talking smack to some Boston fans. So I think everybody was expecting a Boston University, Boston College final, and it didn't go that way. So it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm glad to see a West Coast mountain team win.
Right.
So.
Yeah. What you been up to, man? You been doing traveling yourself?
Track and field, traveling.
Yeah, you were in Arkansas for the eclipse, right?
We went to the eclipse. Yeah, we went to this ecliptic Atlas Obscura festival in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Which was cool. We camped and like had a big, you bring your own tent and had a field, like an open field camping. They had like a music stage and a like a clamshell type like stage for like lectures and movies. And so, you know, like kind of hippie stuff. Like Hot Springs was an interesting town. There's a lot of baseball history there. I don't know if you know.
Interesting.
And gambling history. So like in the 20s and before Vegas, like Hot Springs was where all the casinos were. It was like a neutral territory for mafia. And they had spring training there. Babe Ruth hit like a 500 foot home run in spring training off the Dodgers or something. And you can still see like remnants of the stadium in the wood in the park. And there's like a spot, a home plate where the home plate was. But the baseball players would go out and party and then go to the bathhouses, like, because they thought that like the thermal water would like cure their hangover and cure their injuries and stuff. So like it was just like all, it's such an interesting mafia. Like when the casinos all went to Vegas, there was no more casinos left in Hot Springs, and it kind of died down. But There was a lot of people there. They were expecting like a million people because it was in the path of totality. But
yeah,
thankfully we spent most of the time out in the woods. But interesting town. It was like
nice
old people, like hippies in town for the eclipse. And yeah, like it was just, I don't know if it was good or bad or cool or not cool. It's just, it was interesting.
It's different. But yeah, yeah.
Oh, we went and saw the horse races too on Sunday while we were there. They have a nice horse track. So,
yeah, I think I saw you posted it on Instagram or Snapchat. Yeah, I was like,
yeah, and didn't win on an any
eclipse, not a horse race. Yeah,
yeah, change up.
That's cool. So, nice.
Yeah, but yeah, now got a lot more travel coming until about mid June. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Back to back to back. I don't know how you've had time to watch more TV than I have. I haven't been doing hardly anything. Seems like you've watched more than I have.
Yeah, it's been a lot like traveling. I mean, it's been a lot on flights and in hotels, or, you know, in the car, or on days I work from home.
Yeah.
So.
What you been watching recently?
Yeah. So, like, Resident Alien season 3, like the midway finale just finished, which was a nice little cliffhanger. It shows it's the first season just like goofy, and the second season is goofy and good, and the third season is like an actual really good show, but it's still funny. But it's so good, and Alan Tudyk is great. And so watching that, still watching Shogun, just watched episode 9, which is the penultimate. It was fucking amazing. I mean, that rival, that to me, the two best shows of the year are both set in Japan. Tokyo Vice, yeah, and Shogun.
I don't disagree.
I've watched 2 episodes of The Regime, but haven't got back into it. And then I just like, I'm watching the Synanon Fix on HBO. It's like a documentary about a group called Synanon back in the 60s, 70s. Like, supposed to like help drug addicts, and then it converted into like something else.
Cult. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much kind of. It took on a bunch of different forms. And then I got American Horror Story. The second half just started back up a couple weeks ago, but I haven't been able to get back. I watched the first 5 episodes in the fall. Nice. And then, the 3 Body Problem I finished.
I'm catching up on that
documentaries.
One.
Yeah, we got to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
A couple documentaries, like What Jennifer Did, which is on Netflix, which was all right. It's about a girl who murdered her parents. Yeah, I think there's a couple other stuff on the agenda, but what have you been watching?
Yeah, I've been watching Tokyo Vice, obviously, just ended, and been watching, oh my gosh, what have I been watching? 3 Body Problem, right, which we'll talk about. Just finished episode 5 today, and it you're completely right, because you were telling Marcus and I, episode 5 is like the turning point of the show where everything starts to line up. It's so good. I just finished it, and I'm immediately more hooked than I was before. But I've been working. I've got these projects at work. I've been doing a little bit of reading. I haven't been caught up on a lot of stuff, but I finished Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was hilarious. You know, they kind of ended it similar to the way Seinfeld ended, but the way he actually wanted to end it. So it was kind of a funny little like tip of the cap, kind of like thumbed his nose at everybody. It was pretty good.
The watch was talking about that, about similar to that. That's funny that you mentioned it like that.
I just remembered the show I was telling you before we went on the air that's going to end with season 4, Silo. So we've only had the first season of Silo. We know the second one is coming. They're going to film and produce the 3rd and 4th season back to back.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to end with the 4th season. So I just read that online like this morning or last night. So it just hit me now that it was Silo. So that'll be good. And I just downloaded the audiobook for the second book. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, getting caught up on TV. There's so much stuff coming up and stuff that's out right now that I need to watch. I have a countdown for when shows come out, but I've been kind of lazy about watching them. Like I don't know if it's being lazy or if I'm not interested, but the regime is just so weird. I don't know if I'm actually interested in that. And then Ripley just started on Netflix, and I really want to watch that because I loved the movie when it came out, which was The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, I've never seen the movie, so that'll be interested in the show, like that and Sugar on Apple TV.
Yeah.
It just came out with Colin Farrell. So yeah, I mean, there's stuff coming out. We got Outer Range season 2, which looks fucking something out of a coked up fever dream.
Looks yeah.
Even more insane than season 1 was, if anybody watched it. But
yeah, something out of a Philip K. Dick book. It's just so weird,
yeah.
So sci-fi, so four-dimensional. It's so weird. I think the trailer just dropped today or yesterday, and we just watched it. And it just looks like an acid trip. It looks insane. So much like the first season did. Yeah. So I'll be doing a rewatch of the first season probably over the next couple of weeks and taking lots of notes and yes. trying to save the flavor as the new one starts. So
yeah, same.
Yeah.
So Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
You watched the first 5 episodes.
Yeah.
I watched 6 through 8 as well, but what'd you think of the first 5?
Slow start to some degree, a little bit. After you get past like the first and second episode, it's a little bit slow until you get to the 5th. But it's so captivating and so good because it's such an original story, right, by Shixin Liu in China about contacting another alien race. And of course, we generally know how that always ends up is we're the primitive one. So we're the ant that's going to get crushed under the boot of somebody, you know, much more intelligent. But they're 400 years out and trying to figure out how to conquer us while we conquer them before they get here. And it's just so original. And I was watching it with, you know, Jack Quaid, the like snack guy, and then seeing his house and he's got like all the toys on his wall and stuff. I was like, that's who I am. And then like
you're him. Yeah.
R.I.P. Like he don't make it, but yeah. Dude, it's such a great show. The book is so good, but I didn't expect it to turn out this well in terms of an adaptation for a TV show. I mean, just how episode 5 ended with them being able to watch everything. It's so highbrow sci-fi. It's unbelievably amazing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to get your thoughts on 6 or 8 because the show kind of dramatically changes a bit.
Yeah.
And what I think was really, I mean, it's still good, like total 8 episode series, but what I think was really well done in first 5 is kind of like putting an impossible book into a show.
Yeah.
And then how they did it, and you were the first 5, you're trying to unravel the mystery. And then after the 5, you know what the mystery is, and now it's basically act 1, and now you know what the problem is, right? So it's the interesting part is how Benioff and Weiss are going to be able to make it, I would say make it meaningful and make you interested in over so many year period.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know the story more, so I don't want to spoil it. But apparently I read that the 3 books, one is now and then another one's in the past and then the other one's in the future, or the last one's in the future that's close to the date.
Yeah.
But I kind of maybe was spoiled on the podcast I listened to about it. And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to know all this but about like the 3rd book. And, you know, but it's, but anything with sci-fi and time and other species, it's right up my alley. So,
which for me, you know, considering we're able to do these books, right. And, you know, when are we going to get a Forever War, like series or movie? Like, Ridley Scott was working on a script years ago for the Forever War adaptation, and he's abandoned it. And I think it'd be a fantastic movie. But
yeah,
we're getting a lot of good sci-fi stuff now because we have the capability.
Yeah, if someone could turn Forever War and Forever Peace into a series, it would be great. There's a lot of good sci-fi. I mean, there's some that, you know, the Foundations didn't turn out as well as everybody was hoping. But
the books are fantastic. The series is not great. Yeah.
But I think sometimes what makes sci-fi kind of special from a book level is the imagination. So it's entirely up to the reader to frame it and whatever they want, and the like kind of sky's the limit on what you can imagine. And then when you put it into visual art, you may not appreciate what that how that person told a story.
For sure.
And that's when we're at the Clips Festival, there was a lecture by this guy named Adam Rubin, who writes, he's kind of like an illusionist. I forget how to explore. He calls himself like a wonderist, but it's not really like magic, but he takes on like, he has a lot of books, and it's not just like he's lives in Brooklyn and he does a lot of like just stuff in the community. It's hard to describe, but he wrote a lot of these different children's books, and my daughter knew some of them, like Dragons Love Tacos or something. There's like a couple of popular ones, but he had one called The Ice Cream Machine. And what he did was he sent out to all these schools asking for elementary students to write their own book called The Ice Cream Machine. And what he wanted to do is show kids, like, with the same title, everybody can write a book and it's going to be completely different. And he published like six of the stories in that book. And so like, he like, you know, invited the kids that got published to book signings, and they're published off, you know, like that part was cool. But just as like, you have a title or you have a perception of one way, everybody's going to have a different perception. That's what, you know, but it made me think of that. But, you know, when you put something out there visually, then there's no, you're not trying to figure out what everything looks like. You're just trying to figure out how to solve what's coming next.
Right. You know? Right.
So,
I mean, look at Dune. Dune has had so many adaptations that have just sucked over the years. And it takes really an artist to get behind the camera and do a lot of stuff. And I think that's Denis Villeneuve. And they're actually starting to make money with Dune.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I heard Dune 2 is really good. It's better than Dune 1, but, or the new, like, not the old Dune, but first Timothy Chalamet. So I was thinking about, well, I haven't watched either one of them, but they talked about the new guy is really good.
But yeah, he's a good director. He's got an eye for sci-fi. But yeah, you should give that one a watch. It's a good one. But yeah, the three body problem, right, which is what we were talking about. This is the type of things that we need more in cinema and television is these original ideas. Let's stop reheating the same story over and over again. Let's bring some of these new concepts out there, because they really do expand imagination and what we actually can do with science and technology. Yeah. So it's just where we're going.
It's fascinating. It's a fascinating thing, because it's a real science problem.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is not like made up. This is something that happens in the universe, but it's chaotic. There's no solve for this problem.
Nope. Like,
so that's what, I mean, it's just, that's the genius behind it. And so far they've done a good job of,
yeah.
So hopefully they can keep it going. But It'll be interesting to see how many seasons and stuff Netflix do with it, because apparently it costs like $20 million an episode or something like that.
I wouldn't doubt it. It's got a lot of visual effects. There's some stars in it. I do love that it's a lot of guys from Game of Thrones. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how far they can take it, because it can get very complicated. I think it does have like the second highest viewing by minutes of any Netflix show ever. So there's a big draw coming from not just the US, but globally as well. So
super interesting. Been like their global show, the global hit show. Yeah, and that's what they're looking, not just US numbers, because
Exactly. Yeah, we're not the only demographic. Yeah.
Are we not? Not with American Jesus and the American Jesus Trump Bible that tells us white people, Americans are the best.
Oh, you got to have the Trump shoes to go along with it. Yeah.
Imagine, dude, that'd be funny. Roll into church, like with a like navy suit, red tie, white shirt, the hat. Well, no, you just wear your MAGA hat, and you got your Trump shoes and your Trump Bible.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you're like, you start reading, and you ask the pastor, when are we going to talk the Constitution? My Bible came with the, when are we going to see Lee Greenwood's song?
That's the preface, right? When, do we close out with Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA? Yeah. they just hand the pulpit over to you. That's fucking great.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Sorry.
No, that's good.
All right. So.
Yeah. I think
we never.
That's kind of what we've been talking about, right? Is these shows that we've been watching off and on. But, you know, we had a little hiatus, I guess. And we probably.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. We haven't talked about probably the greatest show of this year, unless White Lotus is just going to blow the lid off the second half of this year. But Tokyo Vice may be the best show that was on TV this year. And it's really high up there for all-time series. I mean, it's a two-season show, man. It's so hard to put up against shows that have four, five, six, seven seasons. But it was so well done.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite show of the year so far. I think it's the best show of the year so far. I think it's going to be my favorite show of the first half of the year.
Yep.
I don't see... I mean, Out of Range 2 is going to be fucking wild. Shogun is really good. I don't see anything overtaking it, but it's just as you, it's so well done. And the two seasons, as you mentioned, wrap up a continuous arc of, and you'll talk about your theory in a minute, but it's really one story that takes place over two seasons.
Yep.
And then, but like the butterfly emerges from the cocoon, if it gets renewed, there's so many directions it can go now. And Adelstein has so many stories. And there's a podcast that he did that I sent you, and I listened to all nine episodes of the podcast. It's so fucking amazing. He has stories for days. I mean, just he has a crazy experience of being the Gaijin reporter in Tokyo.
So, yeah, just so much stuff being uncovered, and you know, now that we're globally connected, you know, world, you know, a lot of stuff is really starting to come to light, especially about one of the oldest places in the world being Japan and all the dynasties and all the background with the Yakuza and stuff. So much stuff is coming to light that it's just, that's original source material that I spoke about earlier. We need more of that.
and I think the cool part with this is it takes, you know, it embellishes on true stories.
Sure.
You know, it took like, the Yakuza boss went to the U.S. for a liver transplant. And then you turn it into this elaborate, you know, you take the real story and you make a series about it.
Yep.
And then the rise of Tozawa and the fall of Tozawa. I mean, that's kind of like the two season arc and the rise of Sho or Saito.
Oh, yeah.
And the rise of Saito and the challenges, you know. So you have two, couple protagonists and couple villains, and then you see, you know, just won't go too much in the finale. We don't want to, you know, it's been a couple weeks, but as you see kind of in the finale and through this whole season, Tozawa is nothing without his wife, or was nothing without his wife and his wife's family's money.
Yep.
At the end of the day, because he's not, it's kind of like, you know, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the, you know, and the 99, the 1%. Someone makes it from dirt. Guess what? Guess who's still going to be able to control them? You know, the people.
1%ers. Yeah.
Old money, the 1%, the, you know, and so he was once a street thug from Kansai, always a street thug from Kansai, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we see the fall of Tozawa, you know, finally catches up to him with Jake getting like all the documents and everything he needed to bring Tozawa down, and the coordination orchestration with the police and with the Chikuri, the Sho,
de facto leading. I
keep calling Sho a Saito.
But he's an amazing actor. Like, he's the guy should be in more stuff. He's so good. But
that's his stock's fucking flying right now. So
all-time high. Yeah, all-time high. Yeah. Yeah, seeing the Sho go from what it was in season one, where we saw how it started with Jake and it has been a couple of weeks. The detective, Katagiri.
Oh Katagiri.
Meeting with Tozawa's guys and how they threaten him and all the stuff that we finally catch up to that point in the second season. And how Katagiri's very by the book, very justice based guy, and how he comes to understand that there's more of there's more than just the justice system, because not everything is perfect, but there are ways to handle things outside of that. And seeing him go that direction was really like a great character development for him to be able to turn to the Yakuza and kind of let them, you know, mind their own store. And you know, all of this really started with Tozawa being very aggressive and trying to take over, and then trying to become legitimate by, you know, getting the prime minister nominated and all this stuff. And I love how they deal with him, and then it kind of just kind of goes back to the way it was, and they just kind of leave it at that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and if you look back at and not as familiar with Yakuza history, but if you look back at the history of the mafia in the U.S., I mean, it is kind of, everything is cyclical. You have peaceful periods, and then you have someone who, you know, when the mafia started dealing in drugs, like in the 20s and stuff, and then prohibition, and then you have people trying to take over other areas, you know, and that's what Tozawa did, went in and was trying to take over other territories, and then, but he was also trying to go legit. But at the end of the day, they're still criminals, you know. It's not like so even with, they're not gonna succeed in that world, I think it's just, it's the greed that ends up getting you, right? I mean, you could live, you know, it's just like you have the five families and you divide up the areas, and you, as long as everybody stays in their lane, you grease the cops, you're all in good shape. I mean, then someone gets out of line, that's when it fucks everything up.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I think the really great character, you mentioned it with Katagiri, never you know, you saw his transition over this second season because he knew that the justice system, the government, the papers, nobody was going to do anything. The only people that are going to take care of it was the Yakuza.
Yeah.
Because it was against the code to do what he did, you know. But it's so funny that the show calls it out, but how many times going back through like the mafia history, you see a lot of these mafia people that are informants for the FBI and they're squealing on other. Yeah, I mean, they wrote a movie about it with the Whitey Bulger, you know, Jack Nicholson has departed, but Whitey Bulger was like an FBI informant forever. A lot of these people, you know, a lot of high level people are like that. And it's, but when you get found out, I think Katagiri just realized this is the best way to handle it because the Yakuza will handle it.
Yeah.
And there'll be a period of peace, you know.
Everybody they're trying to report it to has something to gain by Tozawa being in power, right? The government, well, those people are going to gain, you know, seats at the table. So is the paper. They're going to gain access, right? Because they know Tozawa. The only people getting cut out of the equation is the Yakuza. So it's the only form of justice that's still viable, right? In their term of justice. But so for Tokyo Vice to end the way it ended, right? We don't know if it's going to be picked up for a season three or not. I'd love to see it picked up for season three, but if they put her on the shelf and that's it, I think they handled it the best way possible because that was a fantastic season. Just as good as the first.
Yeah, and I'd love to see a Tokyo Vice universe, like, you know, Tokyo Vice, you know, not Night Country, but, you know, you have a different story. But you still have Jake Adelstein, right? And you still, you can go away from some of the same people. But, I mean, it's just, I think that noir style storytelling and all the stories Jake Adelstein has. The interesting thing is going to come is that this is one of like the really kind of last Max original shows.
True.
Now, since the first season came out before, you know, the merger, and, you know, they were doing Max originals, like HBO originals, kind of separate.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to, I just hope they don't mess with anything if they bring it back. Because it's the right formula.
Don't Frankenstein it. I mean, unless you can keep it the same or make it better, which they think they make it better, but they took True Detective being an example. They don't make it better. They just Frankenstein it and just add a bunch of shit to just get people to watch it. I had the theory that maybe, you know, at the end of it, Samantha is like, oh, I'm going to take a breather. And she like cashed out and, you know, she gave, you know, the Yakuza the information about the upcoming train station. But my theory, right, is that they should do a branch off and have her like go back to Utah or wherever she's from. Right. She's Mormon. Right. She comes from the Mormon, you know, faith.
Yeah.
Go back because it's in the 90s and have it be like she's taking down Warren Jeffs out in Utah. As a part of the Fundamental Latter-day Saints, FLDS. And like Jake is like loosely involved, you know, for journalistic intent, but like I think that'd be really fucking cool if they did a noir like HBO original series branched off from that universe but in Utah.
Yeah, I mean, they can do so much with it. I mean, you can have him go back to Missouri, you can have him, you know, I mean, I think he still lives in Japan. I mean, there's so many stories to tell. And it's such a fascinating culture. I mean, just between watching Shogun and Vice and then how, you know, Tozawa basically commits seppuku.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happens to a lot of people in Shogun. It's like And they kind of talk about that in some of the podcasts about the suicides or even abandoning people, abandoning their lives. Like,
yeah,
there's companies that will come and pick you up in the middle of the night and give you a new identity, and it's like legal in Japan. And there's so many fascinating things. That's what the podcast is about, like 9 episodes. They could do a whole Tokyo Vice, like missing persons or something. And then,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's so much they can do because the fundamentals are there.
Oh, yeah, for now, sure.
What they need to do a better job of promoting the show and putting it on HBO on Sunday nights. This should be. Kate Winslet is, you know, in the regime. And maybe I'm missing something. I haven't read anything really good about it. But that should be in that slot. I mean, that should have been.
Tokyo Vice is a marquee matchup. It's a heavyweight battle that should be broadcast on primetime every Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was a banger, man. It could be, if they threw their money behind it and their marketing, the show could be Emmy worthy. I don't know that it's going to win any Emmys because it seems like they don't give a shit about it, right? They did hardly zero marketing, and that's a tragedy.
And it's got, I mean, Ken Watanabe is a famous Japanese actor. Ansel Elgort is a famous, I mean, he was in Baby Driver, and he's been in some other stuff. And we've got names. So, I mean, they just did a really bad job. That's a show that could be, like, which is fine with me. As long, I mean, I watch it. And it's good. And
yeah.
So.
Yep. It had the potential to pop off like Succession did, in my opinion. Like, it was very low key and not a lot of people knew about it. And then, boom, it just takes off, right? I was expecting for that to happen, and it just felt like HBO was like, we're not that interested anymore.
Well, I didn't watch Succession until after the first season, and it's so many people like gave up, like talking to people I work with that stopped watching after the first 4 episodes because they didn't like it. And the first 4 episodes are the weakest episode of the series.
Yeah.
It gets better, you know, better. But I mean, just think sometimes with the marketing and how when a wave catches and these shows grow, like, I think Industry is better show than Succession. Like, it's basically the Succession, but in the UK with like trading and stockbrokers and the lifestyle. And it's just, and it's raw, but it's like, but it's kind of a bunch of unknown actors. But it's, well, I mean, it's the same style, but it's just what catches on and what, you know, but everybody can, I mean, it's what, you know, the Roys is like the Murdochs and the big family, right? So, the Hiltons, the family drama, and I mean, it's relatable. It shouldn't be relatable because none of us have that kind of money, but you see it on TV and you see, but that's what we're told in America that can happen to us. So we pay attention. Like, we're going to.
Yeah. Oh, the only difference between them and like my family, right? Cause my family screwed up. The only difference is that they have $1 billion and my family doesn't.
Yeah. But anyway,
we
got to plan our trip to Japan. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, Tokyo is high on the list. I really want to go.
Yeah.
I do have one question for you. What could Tozawa have done different to not have gutted himself at the end? How could he have won?
I don't think you eventually win in this position. Like, I mean, you end up, when you're the head of a crime family, you don't retire on a beach. You end up.
No.
You end up dead, right? I mean, this is, you rise to power, have a fun run, and someone comes and whacks you. Or in this case, he kills himself. I think the only way he could have won is stayed away after the surgery or came back and kept what they had. and kept the peace. I mean, because whenever he was gone, slick back hair and glasses, you know, they maintained the status quo. They didn't. They kind of did the thing that they were doing. So
yeah, they were just, holding the water back.
And power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, whatever that quote is.
Yeah,
and that's what eventually. I mean, the only way is not get too greedy, and he got too greedy. He was trying to be the richest, most powerful, most influential person, and that was his downfall.
I think there's only one way he could have won. Now, I'm not saying it would not have screwed up his entire life, the entire country of Japan. There's only one avenue that I see, and it was the Michael Corleone way. And that was to off the rest of the five families and consolidate power, so that way nobody could turn on you. That's the only way. He left all the other Yakuza being like, oh, yeah, like, if you back me, like, we'll all be legit. No.
Yeah.
You kill all of them, and you just do it all yourself. Yeah. That's what should happen. Exactly.
Go to the mattresses.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
I put all family disputes to rest tonight. That's what he should have done.
Yeah.
Just killed everybody. Yeah.
But then, I mean, still then, the downfall comes by another means, but you buy some time.
Of course, it comes when his politician becomes in power, then he gets busted for money laundering, or you know, the government collapses and they have hyperinflation. It comes at some point, but to make a longer run, you have to go to the mattresses, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I think that works.
Yeah.
But good season.
Oh, so good. I it'd be interesting if they do a season three. If they don't, I'm fine. Because they didn't screw it up.
Yeah.
I love Ken Watanabe in this and his character, like, whether or not he's going to retire, how they kind of leave it open at the end where he's doing like the 10 seconds of breathing and he's like, ah, you're like, oh shit, is he actually going to retire or not? Or stay retired. That was really good.
Yeah.
So I love the show. I've got the book. I'm listening to the podcast that you mentioned. We need to share it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
There's just so much really history there. That's so great that people just aren't aware of. So.
Yeah. Well, good. You have to let me borrow the book.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're done.
Yeah. To think that this show all started with, like, the Yakuza getting people out of debt and then guilting them into committing suicide to get the life insurance back. That's how this show started. And it went off into, like, this crazy universe. So good, dude.
And that's a real thing in Japan. Like, it's fucking insane. I mean, there's so many things that were like, what? So, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. But any other thoughts on that?
No. Just a lot more TV coming. So
There's a lot. I got to get caught up. I'm going to start Ripley probably this week. I'm going to blow through Three Body Problem. And then I've got to map out my Outer Range rewatch.
Yeah, next week we got to talk about 6 through 8 so I can get your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, then there's, we got rewatch of, got to rewatch Outer Range.
And then if we can ever get Severed Season 2 to drop, I mean, my God, man.
Apparently they're done. It's wrapped filming.
They done filmed. So. Yeah. Yeah. So we get it through production. We should get it by the end of this year. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So. We need it.
Yep. Yep.
So.
But yeah, man, appreciate everybody for kicking up with us this week. Check out the podcast platforms. Check out the website, Kick It Media. Check out the Instagram, Can We Kick It Pod. You hit us up on Instagram or our website, and tune in next week. We'll finish Three Body Problem. We'll talk Ripley. We'll talk Resident Alien and Shogun. I got to get caught up on that. And as a cousin likes to say,
go Last Rose.